Coming up on show 706, the Tesla killers aren't actually killing Tesla. We've got the numbers and I'll let you know what they are. Stick around. Also talking a toy Cybertruck, Elon addressing the environmental concerns of Berlin Gigafactory. An Audi e-tron with three motors, not two, hits the track, and Seat's very rapid hybrid. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, the edition for Sunday, 23rd of February. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story to save you time. As always, thank you to MyEV.com for helping make this show. You know, that is the world's first marketplace. And if you're in the USA, you are damn lucky to have this as a resource. The first place to buy, sell, learn about, get those extra services like warranties and the things that you want to make sure you get right with an EV. It's all at MyEV.com. A quick follow-up, by the way, on a story that I was talking about recently, and Pete Glass chipped in. We were talking about a story where Hyundai were claiming that they're the first converted petrol station in the world. They're going to put some high-power chargers into Korea by summer. Pete says that Shell is actually already converting a whole petrol station in London, the bottom end of Fulham Road, to an all-EV charging station. Didn't know that, Pete. Thank you so much. I'll go check it out. Have a look. And welcome to a new producer, Bob Riedlinger. Thank you very much, Bob, at producer level. New producer, Steve Harper. Another new Patreon producer. This show just grows and grows and grows all the time, and with it, your Patreon support. Thank you so much. And this is the most important one. Before we get to the news, Raj Budwell has said to me, I hope you and your new family are well. Yes, Raj, all good here. Very happy for you, he says. I'm lucky enough to be the father of two amazing boys and Rohan, who is four. And you know what? There's nothing cooler than hearing your name. And if Raj is listening to the podcast in the car, I don't know, maybe taking Rohan somewhere, then hello, mate. Thanks for listening. What EV are you going to buy when you grow up? Well, you got some time to think about it. There's going to be some pretty cracking electric cars around by the time you pass your driving license. Thanks to your dad for supporting the podcast. Okay, let's talk about the lead story today. Tesla killers aren't killing Tesla. Oh, goodness. For those of us that have been around a while, and I certainly haven't been talking about this whole EV thing for as long as some people in the community, but, you know, for a long time, there was a stick with which lots of people were hit with when we would rave about the cars coming out of Tesla. And I rave about all cars, you know me. I love all EVs. I'm completely agnostic with manufacturers. We'd rave about Teslas. People would say, well, just wait. You just wait. When the others start making EVs, they're going to kill Tesla. It turns out the Tesla killers aren't killing them yet. In the United States, at least, the market seems to belong entirely to Tesla. Let's take California. California, where most EVs are sold, the Model 3 outstripped sales of any other competitor when you combine them together last year. The next best-selling model was the Chevrolet Bolt. Still all right, 16,000 of them sold, but that's nothing really to compare to Tesla's Model 3. So CNBC, a slew of new models are scheduled for release in 2020. You just wait till Ford start making EVs, people said. Now, the Ford Mach-E Mustang electric crossover, 300 miles of range, not for all models, but for the top one, if you pay the big bucks, and 322 miles is what they're aiming for the Model 3. So, yeah, you know, draw your own conclusions. I like the Mustang Mach-E, by the way, and I've not even seen it in person yet. I think it's a fantastic first attempt from Ford, the first of many more to come, but a really respectable, good first car. It's got its detractors, I know that, but it looks nice, you know, and they're selling them, they're making them, they're selling them, and soon they're going to be delivering them by the end of the year, and I can't wait to start, well, hopefully one day have a drive myself, but before then, see those YouTube videos and all that kind of stuff, and see that real world things. I'm looking forward to it. When Ford turn their mind to it, I reckon they're going to make a really good EV. Meanwhile, from Electrek, they're talking about the Model 3 numbers in California. Just to put it into perspective, the Model 3 sold more than twice as many cars as all other EV manufacturers combined. Now that all of the others are having a go at making EVs, you add up every other EV sold that wasn't a Tesla Model 3, add them together, and twice that number is the Model 3. A third best-selling car overall in the state. Not just EV, third best-selling car in the state over the year of 2019, and it's only behind Oh, you know, those juggernauts that are the Civic and the Camry. Now, notice we're saying car here because truck sales are pretty big in the US, and we're saying cars here, but still, the result is a move up from fifth place last year with all three models combined. Tesla, you know, the SEX range, S3X range. Tesla gained almost 73% market share in the EV market in California. All right, big asterisk. It's California we're talking here. And that is by far and away the biggest EV market in the US. And even then, so many gas cars are still being sold in California. And they're going to be on the road for, you know, a sunny climate, what, 15, 20 years? Not as much rust as we have to deal with. And so, maybe longer. Every combustion car that is sold today, another one is going to be on the roads in a sunny place like California. Very, very long time. So come on. EVs are going well. We need to get more of them on the road. This is good. It's a good start. But we can do better. However, one that you won't be driving, at least sitting in, but, well, maybe you'll be piloting it, so to speak. Mattel, the toy company Mattel, announced it's going to offer a radio-controlled model, well, two of them, actually, of the Tesla Cybertruck. One is a 1/10th scale, and the other one is a smaller 1/64th. Today, on the website, the larger version, which is $400, says sold out. But, you know, have another look if you want to get one for Christmas, says Clean Technica. Tesla worked closely with Mattel to make models as accurate as possible. And when you look at the pictures that Mattel issued of the Cybertruck model, especially the 1/10 scale one, it's pretty big, actually. And you look at the picture, you think, I recognise that bloke. That's Franz von Holzhausen. Yeah. He actually designs the Tesla cars themselves, so they've been that close with Mattel. And look, this remote control car, it looks, Tesla have designed it with Mattel. It is a mini Cybertruck. It's so realistic. It's also got, I love this, in the box, you will get a reusable cracked window sticker. So if you do want to mod your toy and put the little window sticker on to crack the two side windows, the ones that shattered during the reveal last November, you can do that. I love that. That is awesome sense of humour. The company says the body can be removed as well, and you can lift the body off the radio-controlled toy and see the interior. You can see the battery, the drivetrain system as well. Just brilliant. I haven't got my order in yet. But if you've got a spare $400 kicking around, what a great present that would be for the person in your life this Christmas who you just can't buy presents for. You know, the kind of person, we've all got them. I think I'm one of them. The person that's got everything. And if I want something and it's a week away from birthday, I think, oh, I'll buy that on Amazon. And then my wife goes, why? Just tell me. It could have been a present. This would be great. Keep an eye on the Mattel website, see if it comes back in stock. Now, I'm excited about the Audi e-tron S. The Audi e-tron S Sportback is coming. Review has been posted to Car Magazine. Only a prototype for now. It's going to be out by the end of the year. You know what? Audi Quattro has a really special place in my heart. I think anyone that likes motor racing, has got like even a passing knowledge of rallying, the Audi Quattro is just a special thing. The idea of a fast Audi powering all four wheels. This goes one better. Actually, this goes several better as well, because it's electric power, and all electric cars are infinitely better than anything else. 40 years since the debut of Quattro's all-wheel drive system, Audi is gearing both Quattro and the S brand for a high-performance era in electrification. Car Magazine says it's doing so with a new twin e-motor system, and that's just twin motors on the rear axle and a single motor up front. So they've taken the single motor that was up front, the front motor from the normal e-tron, the 55 and the 50, and they've put two of them on the back, and they've taken the motor they use on the back axle and put that one up the front. But of course, you can start doing some funky torque vectoring stuff. So you've got two motors on the rear axle. And then, because electric motors respond so quickly as well, much, much quicker than a combustion car, you know, just milliseconds to apply power and then stop, and then regen, brake, apply power, you know, you can drift it. You can do what you couldn't normally do with a Quattro, and that's throw it into the corner and hang the back out a little bit. Normally, Quattros just grip and grip and grip and get this kind of wonderful power slide. but you can have loads of fun in this by the look of it. According to Ben Barry for Car Magazine, Audi says the more powerful Audi e-tron S will be the first mass market vehicle to feature twin motors on the rear axle and one up front when it goes on sale later this year. Of course, we know Plaid powertrain is coming. Tesla Model S, Plaid powertrain. I think that does mean, I'm pretty sure, need to go do my research again, that means twin motors, rear axle, one up front as well. The benefit isn't just a quicker 0-60 time. The e-tron is still a beast. It's still a beast of a car. It's still a heavy car. It's still an SUV, after all. 0-62 is dispatched in 4.5 seconds. Again, winning no drag races here, but a more rear bias driving experience, 496 brake horsepower in boost mode. You know, the e-tron has this 8-second boost mode where it'll give you peak power for 8 seconds. Even then, if you keep your foot pinned, you get the 429 brake horsepower available permanently as well. All the motors and the software are designed in-house by Audi. And congratulations to the Audi engineers for actually just putting an S model, you know, in the product roadmap, as it were. This is brilliant. They've been working on the e-tron for 5 years now, and they started the design all those years ago, knowing at some point they'd make an S version, and they left room for two motors. It was always on their mind. I love that. The price, TBC. The battery size, TBC. It's on sale, TBC. End of the year, they say. Goodness me. E-tron is, I think, and I spent some time, by the way, I spent some time inside a Mercedes-Benz EQC, thanks to Richard Simmons. And many people know Richard, who he is a very, very well-known and popular member of the EV community here, because for, well, as long as he has been, which is just forever, has been selling used Teslas. I think Richard would be outside of actually Tesla themselves, who've got, you know, a fair few models on hand. I would say he would have more Teslas than at any one time in his big, wonderful new showroom than anybody else. Based down here, about 10 minutes away from where I live, down here on the South Coast. And he's got a Mercedes-Benz EQC in at the moment. So I went over, had a little look. It's very nice. Very nice to be inside one of those. It's not on my shopping list just yet, but are just beautiful. I mean, they've done such an amazing job with the EQC. I know the range isn't up there with the rest of them, but I would still say the e-tron, just for me, pips it against the EQC and the Jaguar I-Pace. Still, and the Model X as well. I mean, because the Model X is just one big, it's just a big computer, big screen. But the Audi e-tron is still my favourite EV to be inside. Once you close the door with that reassuring thud. I love it inside there. It's gorgeous. So, an S version. Wow. Man, I can't wait. It's going to be so cool to have that as another EV on the market. And talking about quick EVs, the SEAT brand, the fast bit of SEAT, Cupra, is presenting its first model with a plug-in hybrid drive. It's called the Cupra Leon e-Hybrid, launching this year. Five-door model and a wagon version. Oh, I love an estate, a sport tourer. It's got the same tech as VW's 8th edition of the Golf. The Golf 8 e-hybrid GTE is what they've called. According to Electrive, the Golf 8, you can either get it in e-hybrid or e-hybrid GTE. Škoda and SEAT are offering the Škoda Octavia and the SEAT Leon models with a plug-in hybrid version of 150 kilowatts. And the Octavia RS IV actually comes with 180 kilowatts of power. And so I think the Leon Cupra is also going to have more power as well, the same as the quick Octavia. Whether it's 150 or 180 kilowatts of power, you're still going to be pretty rapid. And for most people, it'll still be a game to see if you can do all of those miles on as little petrol as possible. 13 kilowatt hour battery in all of those equivalent VW cars. You know, the VW, the SEAT, the Skoda. All right, it's going to get you 20, 25 miles, but, you know, if that's your commute and you can charge at work, that's pretty good. Right, question of the week then. I was asking you about EVs being connected cars. EVs are often, most of them, coming with a SIM card inside. They are connected, they connect to Wi-Fi in Tesla's case. But that means the car manufacturers can dip into your car and change things And in Tesla's case, they change it sometimes without the owners even knowing. If they haven't ticked the right box, you know, maybe they bought a used car and that car was salvage or something. Tesla can turn off supercharging. Tesla can even turn off DC fast charging on third-party networks if they want to. That's in the agreement. If you buy, if you don't know what you're buying from not a reputable, kind of dealer or not in this country. These cases have come up in the States so far. So I was asking you about connected cars and how you feel about, well, who really owns the car if the car maker can dip in and turn things on and off? Alex Banahini says, I have a Zoe, as you know. I've paid for map updates. To me, this is perfectly normal and one I was happy to do. In Tesla's case, in my opinion, says Alex, these items need to be linked to your Tesla account and based on a subscription model, or they need to be a permanent addition to the car and it comes with the car. Because of that, I would rather lease than buy a Tesla, he says, because I know where I'd be. And funnily enough, I was talking to mentioning to Richard Simmons. I was talking to Richard about those era of Tesla Model S and X cars that came with lifetime free supercharging. And it's one of those things that actually, if you get the car from Tesla themselves, they now either give you a year or it kind of changes. I think at the minute it's a year. Maybe it's not at all. If you buy it from Tesla, you think you get a better deal. Actually, if you buy a used Tesla Model S and X, it's got free supercharging baked into the car. It's on the car, and that's a good reason to go to a third party place to buy yours if that's important to you. If you have a lot of miles and you want your free supercharging, especially if you can get one with autopilot and or enhanced, you know, hardware 2.5 as it were, and the facelift as well. There's not too many of them around, but man, that's a nice car to get hold of. Let's talk about Pete Lawrence's email. As far as adding extra features via the app, I would be happy as long as it stays. By that, I mean that when I come to sell it secondhand, I can sell it with the additional features that I have purchased and not be removed. Not sure what the law is on purchase rights, but once you've bought something, you normally own it. I can understand stopping features under health and safety and the ecosystem like Tesla superchargers, but for no other reason. Stephen Brooks says, I think EV options should definitely be modular. And based on your requirements, you should pay for what you want and when you want it. So if I pay during the winter months for heated seats, but not in the summer months, well, that should be possible, says Stephen. Peter Mooney says, I think it's a great idea. It gives you the opportunity to upgrade your car at some point in the future. And how amazing would it be for the second-hand market? Knowing the features only need to be unlocked makes a car even more desirable. Doug Vowell says, the acceptability of paid upgrades depends on the implied or stated nature of the original sale. In the case of Tesla, part of the brand's appeal is the constant free over-the-air updates. If Tesla started charging for over-the-air updates, there would be outrage. But full self-driving is outside of that understanding. If you want it, you pay for it. Heated rear seats? Well, those that got the standard Range Plus got the hardware but didn't have the feature switched on. Now you can have them if you want. Although I'm not buying them, says Doug. I appreciate being able to. And finally, John Harcombe, I'm happy to have the basic car and pay for the extras that I want. As more and more vehicles are leased or on monthly finance between 1 and 4 years, I would rather pay a lower monthly fee than, say, $300 for one item. They should offer you both options, to buy or to lease. Well, thank you to everyone who chipped in with an answer to this week's question of the week. And let's set a brand new question of the week. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks to myev.com, how to persuade your family, friends and colleagues to buy an EV. We did a similar question over a year ago now, so it's time to update it. How to persuade your friends, family or colleagues to buy an EV. Let me know. Email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com, or if you want to, you can leave a comment on the YouTube show. Well, thank you to 235 patrons of this podcast. You guys make this happen. You guys and girls, thank you so much. On a Sunday, I like to read out all the execs and above, executive producers, because I'm so grateful that you do pay for this show. Patreon is patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. If you too are wondering what it's all about, and if you can support maybe a posh coffee once or twice a month, $5 or $10 or maybe more, you'll make this show happen. If You want to listen to any one of the previous 703 shows, they're in the archive thanks to Patreon being able to pay for that. Premium partners Phil Roberts of Electric Future, premium partner Brad Crosby. Continued thanks to Brad, Avid Technology, and our latest, Brightsmith. You can check them out at brightsmithgroup.com for clean tech talent. My partners David Allen, OEM Audio of New Zealand, and evpower.co.nz. Paul O'Connor, tryev.com to get you behind the wheel of one. Gareth Hamer at eMobility Norway. Also, Bob Boothby added his name to the list last week. And all my executive producers as well. Alan Robson, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Asir Khalid, Ashley Hilbyard, Fukestack, Brent Kingsford, Brian Thompson, Brian Weatherall, Bruce Bohannon, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, Colin Hennessy, Craig Coles, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, Darren Bird, Darren Feach, Darren Sant, and Yorkshire EVs, Dave Jewson, David Barkman, David Finch, David Partington, David Prescott, Derek Riley from Dublin EV Owners Club, Don McAllister, making those tutorial videos at screencastsonline.com. Enrico Stefancillo, Eru Kyun Nyumbi, Frederick Rovick, Free Jewel, who's James, Gene Rubin, Jeff Lowe, Hadley Wright, Ian Griffiths, Ian Sear, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Jerry Allison, Jim Duggan, Jim Morris, John Bailey, John C. Solar, John Lacey of Click Like Video NZ, John Biddy McBeardface at Ken TV's, John Nodell, Juan Gonzalez, Ken Morris, Kevin Madison, Carl Mann, Lars Dallinger, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Lohman, Marcel Ward, Mark Bossett, Marlon Shell, Matt Piscioni, Maz Shah, Mia Oppelstrop, Michael Pastrani, Michael Coffin, Mike Ridges, and Mike Rogers as well, both of those, Mike Winter, Nathan Gore-Brown, Neil E. Roberts from Sussex EVs, Northern Explorers, Ohad Aston, Paul Ridings, Paul Shelley, Paul Stevenson, Perry Simpkins, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts at Oxen EVs, Phil Mouchet, Pontus Klimbab, Raj Badwell, Rajiv Narayan, Ralph Jensen, Ronnie Schneider, Rob Cooling at appledriving.co.uk, Rob Hermans, Robert Grace, Robin Tanner, Rupert Mitchell, Sari Kangasodja, Psyche Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas J. Tias, the Plug Seekers EV YouTube channel, Tim Gutteridge and William Langhorn. Have a wonderful day, whatever you are doing. Come and say hi on socials by searching EV News Daily, and I will catch you tomorrow. In the meantime, remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.